Hello, I'm Mariëtte Snyman. Welcome to Calm, Clear and Helpful, a weekly podcast series on taking good care of yourself and others, introducing you to a wide range of wellness professionals ready to inform and inspire. Today's topic is how to network as an introvert. My guest is Helen Nicholson, founder and CEO of The Networking Company, speaker and best-selling author from Johannesburg. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us. After our conversation, it will be fun question time. Helen, you began your career as an accountant and then evolved into the CEO and founder of The Networking Company. And I'd like to mention that you've published several best-selling business books. What motivates you?
I'm the daughter of a teacher, Mariëtte, and I think I have the teaching gene in me. So I think the biggest thing that motivates me is when I see the light go on in people's eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, when they have a new insight or something that I have learned and shared. So I think there are two sides of that motivation. The one is I have a relentless curiosity. So I read constantly. I am always curious about going to events or going to conferences and learning new things. And then I'm passionate to equally teach people about the things that I've learned. And a lot of people have given me feedback to say that I have an ability to simplify complicated things or complex things. So I think that, you know, that motivates me because I think the more information we can share, and I also share it in a practical way.
Absolutely. That's very clear from two of your books, which I've read. And today we're looking at the one you recently published, Networking for Introverts. How did this book come about?
You know, I've had a hunch. I've been involved in teaching people to network for the last 20 years. And I had a hunch a couple of years ago that introverts were actually better networkers than extroverts, because we do a lot of work in financial services, and a lot of the people and a lot of the delegates on our leadership programs were introverts. And a lot of them would come up to me after the session. They'd say, I battle so much with this. And they would come to me with a lot of their career problems. And a lot of those problems stemmed from what they believed was their introversion. But when you actually unpack introversion, there are two key skills that networking requires that introverts are actually very good at. And those two skills are listening and following up. And so I had this hunch, and then obviously COVID happened. And I then got my attention diverted because I felt that the need wasn't as pressing to write the book. Because then I released my mindfulness book because I thought that was more needed in the times of COVID. So what I did is on the side, I started to research networking for introverts. So I got 253 introverts together involved in my project, and I divided them into two groups. And the two groups were, one are people who were who identified as being more introverted. I did have an assessment that I gave them, and they were feeling more stuck in their careers. And then the second group were people who were more introverted, but had felt, you know, that they were living their best lives, that they, you know, had managed to find careers where their strengths were embraced. So I kind of divided the introverts into those two groups, and I gave them some questionnaires, and basically the research confirmed my problem statement, which was, you know, are introverts better networkers than extroverts? And I did realize that they are, if is in capitals, if they manage to get certain things correct. And those two things are storytelling and developing a powerful personal brand. So those were the things that, you know, confirmed the research. And then I decided I wanted to share that because a lot of people said they almost want an A to Z manual of how to network if they were more introverted. And there were also a lot of extroverts who gave me feedback that they didn't understand introverts. So whether they've been in their teams or they're married to them, or they are friends with them. So a lot of people who've subsequently read the book have given me feedback as extroverts that they have gained unique insight into the way introverts think and what it's like to be an introvert, which makes me very happy because I think that in many ways, the business world is constructed around the extrovert stereotype. And I think that, you know, introverts have actually got so much to offer that if someone embraces an introvert's strengths more in a team or in a marriage or in a friendship after reading this book, then that will make me feel that my work has been done.
Yes, we'll get to introverts, extroverts, and ambiverts a little later. I'd first like to ask you about the nature of networking. There are many misconceptions regarding networking. What is your view on this?
I think a lot of people think networking is only for salespeople. I think people think that networking is schmoozing, whereas I have quite a different view. I'm not mad, actually, personally, about the word networking. I prefer the word connecting because I think it makes a lot of people feel more comfortable. And it also really describes better what happens when networks work. I think the foundation of networking is giving and not taking. I always say, if you go into any kind of interaction thinking, what can I give, not what can I get, then you're probably destined to have very successful connecting, networking relationships.
In your experience, as you're writing the book, introverts often feel invisible in the workplace to a certain extent, as if no one but their direct boss knows how good they are. Would you say this is a common state of affairs?
Yes, I think for two reasons. The one is a lot of introverts that I chatted to believe that their work should stand for itself or should speak for itself. You know, they say, I come here, I do a very good job, and that should be enough. So that they are unaware of the power of speaking about their work because they just see it as unnecessary. So I think that one of the things that I've tried hard to get across in the book is that, you know, you don't have to come across as arrogant or boastful by talking about your work. You can actually do it in a newsy, more comfortable way where you just say to your different stakeholders, I just wanted to keep you updated as to, you know, what I'm busy doing, because then they know, you know, where your key achievements are lying, because otherwise your personal brand often rests with your line manager. And if your line manager has got good EQ and genuinely is wanting to grow you, then that's all very well. But it's still a bad personal branding strategy to rest your brand and your reputation and your work in the hands of one person.
Yes, and I think when one reads the book, one finds that you understand the reticence many introverts, well, not only introverts, but in this case, specifically introverts have about, like you said, you know, bragging about their work. And then you offer practical advice on how one can go about keeping others updated.
Yes.
Before we continue, could you please give an overview of introverts, extroverts, and ambiverts?
So it's estimated that 73% of the world's population are ambiverts. So ambivert is someone who displays both introverted and extroverted tendencies. And the whole concept of introversion, extroversion, and ambiversion is about where people get their energy from. A lot of people think introverts are shy, extroverts are outgoing, and then ambiverts sit somewhere in the middle. And that's not actually true. It's about where people get their energy from. So introverts typically, it's not that they don't enjoy people. They do, but they need a lot of time alone because that's where they draw their energy. They find interaction with people depleting, whereas an extrovert gets their energy from people and then, you know, kind of often can feel quite lonely on their own. And ambiverts often, and I find in my research, it showed that people can be ambiverts depending on their work. So say, for example, I'm more extroverted in my kind of personality, but because of my work, which can be very social and talking a lot, training people, speaking at conferences, etc., often I've found as I've gotten older, then I need more downtime on the weekend. And there is a piece of research that says the people generally get more introverted as we get older. And there's such a paradox there, because if that is the case, which I do think, you know, observing, I'm in my 50s and observing kind of people around me, is, you know, often people are kind of quite stuck in their, you know, social mode. So they go to work and they maybe, you know, do one social interaction in a week or whatever it is. But there's that very famous Google study that says the quality of people's happiness and their longevity is largely around the nature of their human connections. So if your networks are diminishing, and then the quality of your life is determined by your human interactions, you know, that's why often people are kind of quite sad as they get older, because we actually need those human interactions. And if you look at all the blue zones, you know, there's there's a Netflix documentary done on it, and there've been a lot of books written on it about the people who age, you know, to advanced ages in Japan and in Italy. And I think there's a place in South America. And all of those people, the one thing they have in common is that they all have good social interactions.
Helen, you've also discovered that the brains of intro, extro, and ambiverts are fundamentally different.
Yes, that was actually one of the most interesting pieces of research that I did, is introverts, let's take a step back. So in your brain, you have different chemical receptors, and dopamine is our feel-good chemical. So it gets released whenever we're doing something that we enjoy doing. So, you know, it could be that you go to movies or you, you know, with friends. Social media is a big addiction. Social media is driven on dopamine. Every time someone likes or reshares your posts, you get a little dopamine rush. So it's a highly addictive brain chemical. And basically, when they looked at MRI scans of introverts and extroverts, they found that introverts have got more dopamine receptors than extroverts. And this means that when an introvert goes to a party or a cocktail reception, their dopamine cup is actually quite full. So they don't need a lot of stimulation to fill up that dopamine cup. Whereas an extrovert is, you know, their dopamine receptors are less. So that means they've got to go to a party and they've got a lot to get a lot more social stimulation to fill up their dopamine cup. And while I was actually researching this part of the book, my husband and I went to a party, someone's birthday, and he's more introverted and I'm more extroverted. And I could see we'd had quite a social week. And when we arrived, he actually said to me, "I'm not going to stay long. I feel like my brain is actually full." And I could literally see that. And he left after an hour, but I stayed at the party because I said to him, "My dopamine is not full yet." Mm-hmm. And for the first time, I had a neuroscience answer for something that had played out in our relationship. But I knew now why it was like that. And I actually, you know, I wasn't fazed by it, whereas before I probably would have been quite annoyed. So I think it, you know, understanding the neuroscience gives people a lot of compassion for introverts, because what I realize is introversion is actually not a choice. It's the way your brain is wired. And I think that's very powerful to know that about yourself and about other people.
Yeah. You did mention that writing your book has confirmed your hunch that introverts are better at networking than extroverts, provided they do two things. You mentioned them. Would you like to elaborate?
So I think, you know, storytelling is a very powerful technique for anyone. So whether you're an introvert, ambivert, or extrovert. But I think what came up very powerfully in the research is that our brains are wired for stories. So because introverts have got those dopamine receptors that only allow them to have, you know, they don't want a whole lot of interaction. So they could go to an event, meet two new people, and then I say, well, then it's fine to leave because you've met your two new people. But they've got to make an impact and they've got to influence those people quite powerfully because they don't want to have a long interaction. So therefore, their stories that they tell have got to be quite curated and powerful, because by the time someone leaves an introvert, they've got to understand who is this person, So I break down a formula in the book of developing almost a signature story, something about you that makes you memorable. So, you know, one of my signature stories that I often tell people, you know, meeting them quite soon, is that my grandmother, I had a very interesting grandmother, and she was married 7 times. So she had 5 husbands, two of them she married twice. Now, that's always a story because I'm apparently very like her, you know, according to my family. She died when I was quite little, but I, you know, that is a signature story that often comes up when I describe things about me or, you know, how I got into this work as well. So I encourage introverts to develop that signature story and hone it. So practice it, get people's feedback, because then people will remember you. And I think the second part of the storytelling is to then develop something about, you know, your products or who you are. So a signature story about you and then a signature story about your work makes you more powerful when you're communicating.
And you go into great detail in your book. So if people would like to know more, that's the way to go. Let's look at some of the networking superpowers that introverts have. You have mentioned two. Could you give us a little more detail on this?
So the storytelling obviously was one. And I think the other one is following up. Because one of the things that extroverts do is extroverts will go to an event and then they'll swap contact details because they get very energized by the interaction, but they often lose the contact details and they don't follow up. So if an introvert arrives at an event, meets 2 people, which I think is a very good challenging amount, tells impactful stories, makes a meaningful, authentic connection with that person. And that often depends on the homework that they've done beforehand, especially if they're going to a conference or something that's got a business agenda, and then they follow up, then they are very likely to have a meaningful interaction as a result of that event, whereas extroverts don't do that. So I think that, you know, my biggest encouragement in the book is for introverts to learn or lean into their natural strengths, because they actually have very good natural strengths, and often they dismiss them, or they look kind of across the room and they see an extrovert air kissing people and talking a lot, and they think that that makes for good networking. Whereas the skill of storytelling, listening, and introverts also very good at that, and following up, those are essential skills.
In your book, you state that introverts should intentionally package themselves so that people will know their value. And this yes. means they should take control of their personal brand.
Yes.
Could you give us a bit of an overview of this, please?
So you'll see that 60% of the book is actually spent on someone's personal brand, because that's how important I believe it is. Personal brand is uncovering the essence of you. So networking actually becomes very easy when you understand your brand. In other words, why you're doing it, because personal branding is the why and networking is the how. So, you know, it's very easy to teach people breaking into conversation techniques, elevator pitches, small talk techniques. But if you don't know why you're doing it, then, you know, it definitely comes across more transactional and less authentically, as I think a lot of people would want. So my belief is when you discover, and it's actually a deeply spiritual quest, you wouldn't think personal branding and networking is, but I do believe it is, because I think that when you start discovering the essence of who you are, your unique ability, what you were put on this earth to do, because that really is the package of you. That is honoring the reason why you were put on this earth. And then you communicate that value to people through your network, I think is actually the reason why we were all put on this earth, quite frankly.
I was also intrigued by the concepts of the connector and the maven.
Yes, I'm fascinated by connectors and mavens for different reasons, but all people in a network are not equal. So there are some people who are more powerful than others. So I get people to audit their networks to actually see where are these power brokers, where do they lie? And connectors are people who know a lot of people, and then they go out of their way to connect the dots. To, you know, they'll constantly be sending out emails saying, Mariette, you need to meet so-and-so. And I'm a connector. So I've got three marriages under my belt, and I've got a whole lot of job placements, and I'm not a recruiter. But I just naturally, I like meeting people, finding out what their problems and their needs are, and then, you know, kind of mentally filing it in a Rolodex in my brain. And then later when I meet someone who I believe could solve that problem, I love connecting them together. So that really is the essence of being a connector. Recruitment agents make a living from playing the connector role. And you become very powerful in a connector relationship because you start to become the go-to person in people's networks. Mavens are people who, so they sit on information that is often very valuable. So it's often around people's hobbies. So you'll see people who are foodies. So anyone who likes MasterChef, who likes to blog or is a big tech person or loves cycling or, you know, they know, and they know everything about that subject because it's what they're interested in. And if you have mavens in your network, then they are very powerful because they provide you with amazing information that you wouldn't know. And if someone is a connector and a maven, then they are incredibly powerful because the mavens on their own will sit on the information until someone asks for it. And a connector may not necessarily, you know, the connector won't necessarily have the information to make the connection. But if you have both of those skills, it's very, very powerful. And I always say you need to leverage those relationships. Connectors, you need to have face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball contact with them at least once every 3 months, because otherwise they forget about you. For some reason, they're not good on the phone and they're not good on email. They like seeing people eyeball to eyeball. And that's why COVID and hybrid work has actually played havoc with a lot of connectors and their relationships.
Hmm. In Networking for Introverts, you offer invaluable advice on, for instance, the best small talk technique or event etiquette. An elevator yes. pitch, you did mention that. Would you like to discuss one of these? Because I found the tips and the advice so practical.
So there's a wonderful small talk technique because a lot of people, even extroverts, have confessed to me that they battle with small talk. And I'd like everyone to think about rowing. So if you think of an oar, O-A-R, that you use to row your boat, that is a good reminder around the technique. So it's observe, ask, reveal, O-A-R. And whenever I'm walking into a new event, I immediately think of those three things. So I think observe, ask, reveal. And for example, even at my children's parents' evenings, I would think, what am I going to observe? So I could say something like, you know, it's wonderful to be at this parents' evening, you know, at the beginning of the year. Ask them a question, say, you know, are you new at the school? Were your children at the school before? And you reveal something about yourself. And the reveal is actually the secret sauce. It's where you reveal something about yourself that makes you appear vulnerable, where you're not a know-it-all, and that opens up the conversation. So in that specific instance, I would have said, you know, I have been very shy at home, and I find coming to these functions quite challenging. So that could be a potential reveal. And then, and sometimes you have to do OAR once or twice to get the conversation going. But generally, even I've managed to have conversations with the biggest introverts if you do your reveal part of the conversation well.
A quick note on what I do. I'm a content entrepreneur creating podcasts and articles on living a happier and healthier life by interviewing coaches, therapists, and other wellness experts from over the world. You'll find this content on my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, and it's there to help you find just the right helping professional when you need one. The section Up Close and Personal on my website offers you a glimpse of the person behind many of the experts I feature. If you're a wellness expert keen on getting more in-person or online clients, or creating worldwide awareness of an issue close to your heart, let's talk about co-creating a podcast or article, or perhaps featuring you in a South African magazine. You'll find more information under Services on my website. To each listener, no matter your age, occupation, or where you live, how about creating your very own personal audio recording with me as a one-of-a-kind gift to someone you deeply care for? In this private interview with me, you can express your love for your partner, leave a legacy to your children or grandchildren, honor your mum or dad or a mentor. The possibilities are endless. To find out more, just click on Gift Podcasts on my website. Now, back to my guest. Helen, where can listeners find your book?
So it is available at Exclusive Books or Takealot. And if they want a personally signed copy, then they can buy it from my website, helen-nicholson.com. And they can just drop me a note and then I'll actually sign it and then we courier it to you.
Yes. And I'd also like to mention the other book of yours I've read, which I thoroughly respected and enjoyed. And it's called Mindfulness, How to Stay Sane in an Insane World. Is that also available on your website and at Exclusive Books?
Yes, both of them are available. So the Mindfulness was the book that came out 2 years ago. It became a bestseller and it really was around my journey with burnout and how I've learned to manage my energy well. Because just as a funny aside story, I realized that I had a problem when I burnt out and I nearly died, actually. I got really ill. But I remember buying a book called Overwhelmed. And then I was so overwhelmed, clearly, that I bought the same book a second time, the same book called Overwhelmed. Mm. So I had the two books called Overwhelmed and I was still feeling overwhelmed because I clearly didn't have the energy or the bandwidth to actually implement any of the tools. And I hadn't even had time to read the books. So I really realized that, you know, I needed to live a different life. And really that book charts the journey that I went on.
Is there another place where listeners can learn more about your work?
So on my website, you can see examples. So helen-nicholson.com. You know, I've got some speaker reels there. I've got some resources available for people. There's some podcasts that I used to host. We're going to relaunch the podcast next year. So, you know, they can find a lot of the information there. And also with, I'm the CEO and founder of the networking company. So if people want to see more about our work we do as a team, then they can go into tnco.co.za.
Thank you. I will attach the links to both websites to the podcast. May I now ask you a fun question?
I would love that.
Each of us needs something fluffy in our lives. If you could conceptualize a fluffy object that would give you great pleasure, even if it only exists in your mind, what would it be?
So the thing that immediately came to my mind when I thought, when you asked that question, was a handbag. I love handbags and I also like texture. So I was that little girl who had one of those blankets, you know, with the satin ribbing around the end when I was a baby. And I would spend hours kind of putting it through my fingers. So, you know, to this day, I love clothes that have texture. So anything fluffy, I would love. And I think, you know, because I love bags, I would love like a little small fluffy bag. And then I would probably, you know, if I was traveling and battling to sleep on a plane, then I would probably stroke the fluffiness. And hopefully that would kind of be a soother to help me sleep.
And I'm curious, which color would you like best?
I think the color that came to mind was white.
Oh, well, there we've got some advice for people struggling to fall asleep on a plane.
So the sleeping tablets also work very well.
Yeah. Thank you, Helen, for sharing your insights on networking. And as an introvert myself, I must say I've found much of the book very, very applicable. So thank you for taking the time to sharing this with us.
It's been wonderful to be here, and I think you do amazing work.
Thank you. To our listeners, it was good of you to join us. I'd be honored if you'd subscribe to this podcast series where you download your podcasts. And if you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone you care about. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariet Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series, Calm, Clear and Helpful, is produced by me with original music by Mart-Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.